Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go, and I really mean it.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Tony, are you prepared to play another exciting round of which one makes you go, the most? That's right. Oh, this is a good one. Which one makes you go, the most? Are
sure.
You prepared for your responsibilities as you represent the tens and tens of people who are listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
You bet.
Terrific.
Bring it on.
Okay, I'll bring it on. Just a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to put the dog down. Look, we were gone for 5 days while our dog was languishing in a kennel. So he wants to sit on my lap. Fine, I'm going to let him sit on my lap. Had a lovely time in St. Minnesota. It was fantastic weather. Got to see old friends and family. Got to preach at a Master's Seminary graduate church. That was fun. Master's Seminary, cranking out good men, pastoring local churches. David Ice Baby. He's a master's grad, but he wants to be kind of hip and cool all at the same time. So he's using a dated 80s reference because that's the evangelical thing to do, be a few decades behind the actual current cultural craze. Nevertheless, David Ice doing a fine job at Faith Bible Church. Thank you to everybody who showed up for that. Had a lovely time talking about a subject that was outstandingly fun to preach. Why? It was the doctrine of eternal security. It's just a joy to preach that doctrine. It's a little dangerous to preach it to a congregation because no matter how good a church is, you know that there are some people who aren't saved, so you don't want to give them eternal security. Nevertheless, we rejoiced in that doctrine. I, since returning from the Minnesota State Fair, pretty much have my shoes unstuck.
Wait.
Yeah.
I missed the State Fair again? Oh.
Yeah. Not everybody finds it their personal cup of tea. We love the fair. It is amazing. 220,000 people, I think, on like the day we were there, the day before.
They may have set an all-time record, as in the first time over 2 million or something.
So many people and so many exhibits. You just can't imagine it until you're there. It's like 330 or 70 acres. Just huge. And it's just packed with cool
stuff. And
zero
parking.
Really bummed. And you know what? The parking... Yeah, you can park if you want to. Devo. Was that Devo?
In Mendota Heights.
No, those men without hats.
That too.
You can park if you want to. You can leave your car behind. And if you don't park and your friends don't park, then they ain't no friends of mine.
Here we go. Playing another exciting round of
whatever
which one makes you go the most. Here you go, Tony.
Sure.
There's a church in Texas that's being boycotted, a megachurch being boycotted because, well, they actually believe what the Bible says about the issue of sexuality. So an LGBT Antifa group protested the worshipers at the Texas church and because they thought that they were homophobic. So why do I bring this up? It doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. Here's a quote. When those attending the service left, protesters yelled, "Bigots! Out of Austin, don't come back." I'm sorry. I could not help but think about sorry. I'm not exactly throwing down the Hitler card, but I am throwing down the Nazi card. This is how they talked about Jewish people.
Yeah, exactly.
This was the exact same attitude. You think that I'm making it up? Okay, that's story number one, Tony.
All right.
That's story number two. Story number two for your consideration would be Sarah Silverman. Pretty much enough said. Nevertheless, it would appear that Sarah Silverman isn't nuts about Christians either. Calling us, well, let's see. How do I sanitize this? I can't.
Knowing Sarah Silverman, you can't.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, frantically typing emails about how I'm once again disrespecting the Christian God. Guess what? Beepers. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had had the F-bomb in there. It had something to do, apparently,
well,
with
nothing
my
else,
mother
always
and yours.
Classy.
Just really nice. This is this is the attitude that is not being kept below the surface in increasing measure in our country. Just saying. Nothing different in the DNA of Americans than in those people who have persecuted others. Story number three. Which one makes you go,
Well, they all do so far.
You know what? You can actually say throw this one out if you want to.
Throw that one out.
Like, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, sorry.
Make misogyny a hate crime, Stella Creasy urges. This is from Great Britain. She wants to amend new legislation that bans taking unsolicited pictures under someone's clothing. In other words, we need a law for upskirting. I thought
that
pretty much was obvious. But in Great Britain, she wants to add a tougher angle or perspective to it. If it's motivated by misogyny, then it's really bad. You know, I'm not sure, but I would pretty much say every single time a man does that to a woman, yeah, misogyny.
I would guess.
Maybe the least of his problems, frankly. How's about pervert? How's about violating privacy? Don't know why we need a law on this, but we do. And something, I don't know what it is, but something smells a little fishy. I'm all for. Have you want a law for that? Fine. Texas couldn't make one. Remember that dude who was taking pictures of girls in their bathing suits underwater at the public pool? That's freedom of expression. All righty then, sir. Maybe you want to take a look at that ranch out on 40 acres and just take a long vacation from the bench. You couldn't figure out that that's just wrong? Freedom of expression to take a pic, like taking a photograph is somehow expressing something. Last time I checked, you can write an expression. You can do art that's an expression. Taking a picture of some... I take it back. Taking a picture of somebody up their skirt when they're not aware, it's an expression. It's an expression that you are a pervert. How hard is it for culture to get that? Nevertheless, there's something fishy about this particular article. You want this story in the running or not?
I don't. They're also icky so far. Go ahead.
All righty then. Here we go. Story number four. Which one makes you go, no, can't do that one because that's actually good news. And we
really?
Don't do that here. Well, I'm sure you talked about it in the news. Didn't think I'd have to. AB 2943.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't talk. Don't touch. It's in the news.
Okay, then. Gosh. We won't celebrate together.
Like it's a surprise.
How much reading did you do on that, though?
Some. Like
because
what?
I was just curious to see what his motivation was, because the fellow, my understanding is the fellow who was presented legislation which passed, it could have gone to the could have gone right to Jerry Brown's desk. This was a fellow who is gay, who wants gay conversion banned. So if you sell anything that peddles gay conversion, then it's outlawed. It's against the law. Many people saying, uh-oh, that means the Bible is in the scope. Uh-oh, that means any Christian who preaches, repent, put your trust in Jesus Christ if you are gay or straight or anything. They couldn't do that. Lots of concern. This fellow, I have to tell you, based on what I read, it seemed pretty honorable to me.
So far,
I knew this was an emotionally charged issue, so I spent the past few months traveling up and down the state meeting with a wide variety of faith leaders. I was heartened by the conversations. Hopefully he learned that Christian conversion is not the same as gay conversion. When somebody gets converted to Christ, they get a new heart with new desires, and they go to war against anything that is sinful. That's different than the somehow putting kids in a boot camp to drive the gay out of them. Pretty Nevertheless, good. He seemed pretty decent for it. But we're not sharing
everything
that, because that doesn't
everything
make
I've
go
read, home. It seemed amazingly honorable.
It did.
Keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but...
Yeah, uh-huh.
As we see with all the other stories.
With a hopeful eye toward the future, I share with you that despite the support the bill received in the Assembly and Senate, I will not be sending it to the governor this year. So, a bullet dodged, at least
temporarily.
For now. New York candidate Cynthia Nixon, she's way behind in the polls. She self-identifies, I'm just reading this because I always thought this was a pejorative. Nevertheless, here it is. Cynthia Nixon, I think she was an actress. She self-identifies not as a lesbian, but as queer. I'll get back to you when I understand this fully. Cynthia Nixon has been frequently referenced in the press as the potential first lesbian governor of New York. But she said she doesn't identify as a lesbian, instead considering herself as queer, said her spokesperson.
It's kind of like the N-word where people have worked to reclaim it, to take it back as, you know, embracing the epithet so that they can take the bite away from those who criticize them.
All right, Tony, we got to wrap this bad boy up. Which story makes you go, ugh? Antifa protesting the church, abortion activist Sarah Silverman saying mean things, making misogyny a hate. I'm not done yet. Making misogyny a hate crime, and Cynthia Nixon self-identifying as queer, not as lesbian. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Back to Antifa. They're still the ickiest.
You think so, do you?
They're the scariest.
I thought the last administration said that they were a bad group. Nah, no. Never mind that, apparently. This is Wretched Radio. And now, a word from Dr. John MacArthur.
I believe that in this generation of developing churches and pragmatic churches and seeker-friendly churches, young guys that are coming into the ministry, and even older guys now, need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Amen to that. How many American churches that were once Bible-based have gotten all squishy, pragmatic, and seeker-sensitive? Too many. The Master's Academy International seeks to stop that overseas. 17 countries, John MacArthur, Master's Seminary graduates, teach local indigenous pastors how to rightly preach the word. For a very small investment, you can make a massive impact in supporting the training of an indigenous pastor. You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you could spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Would you please prayerfully take a moment and consider partnering with Wretched to reach the lost? You see, we rely on the kindness and generosity of you to do all the things we do. To answer the first questions off the top, yes, all your gifts to Wretched are tax deductible. And yes, we are members in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. See, here at Wretched, our goals are pretty simple. We want to preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church. To do that, we ask for your prayer support and your financial support. So if you would, prayerfully consider becoming a monthly gospel partner with Wretched today. It's your faithful and consistent support that will help us reach millions of people around the world. Go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate for details on how you can become a monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to a very small, very poor village in Moldova where there is not one tomorrow club. There are actually two.
In one of the clubs, there were 80 kids, and in the other club, there were like 65 kids, and we were amazed when we walked into those buildings just to sit and watch all of these kids who, they were very unruly, but yet they were there with nothing else really to do in that village. They were happily attending the Tomorrow Club and memorizing Bible verses, singing hymns, and praying to the Lord. It was so unbelievably beautiful. We hope and pray that they'll find hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Would you like to help 30 children find that hope? You can be supporting 30 disciples for $30 a month through the Tomorrow Clubs. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, hello. Welcome back to Wretched. That was an ice baby. You know, that was the David Bowie, Freddie Mercury song.
Under Pressure.
They're different, you know. Totally different. So please, let me keep my royalties. This is Wretched Radio. I've got the Ice Baby song stuck in my head because of David Ice Baby. I think he's 30. He's a graduate of Master's Seminary. Is it against the law to say somebody's age? He disclosed it. It wasn't like a job interview question or nothing. David Ice, he's pastoring a church, Faith Bible Church, in Roseville. By the way, have you been to the University of Northwestern campus lately?
No.
It looks really nice. I mean,
it is a university now.
But it looks great. I mean, it's like it's so welcoming in its feeling. Of course, when I was driving off the campus and I saw a Black Lives Matter sign in one of the dorm windows, I was a little bit troubled. Then when I discovered at Panera for lunch, which really isn't lunch. Panera actually is a French word, which means you're going to be hungry. And so we went to Panera, and I was told that there are actually some of the social justice movement folks on the campus, too. It's just invasive everywhere. But I was grateful to be able to preach in their lovely chapel there. It was a little bit bittersweet because, well, I used to go to work there, and then I got fired from there. So,
Is the radio station still there?
Oh, yeah, the radio station is still there. They've got a nifty building right outside the campus. Yep, still going strong. Well, at least still the going. Signal. Not so sure about the direction. Nevertheless, I'm not bitter.
No.
From getting fired.
There.
Yeah. Just when I was told I should probably move closer to the campus. But, hey, no harm, no foul, I'm over it. By the way, David Ice is a graduate of Master's Seminary, and I bring that up with an ulterior motive, but it's a good one. To let you know about Master's Seminary, specifically the Master's Academy International, these are pastors who graduate from Master's Sem who are overseas 17 different countries teaching indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's outstanding. And they could use your support because the more support they get, the more pastors they can train to stave off kookiness and to feed the flock a balanced diet of biblical truth. You can support them at new website address. We try to make this easier. Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org. That's us. /pastor. You can learn more about it. John MacArthur has a video there, which is, as always, okay. You know, it's MacArthur. It's okay.
It works.
It's pretty fair. This is the very type of thing that the Masters Sem with the Masters Academy International is trying to stave off. Headline, sent in to me at idea@wretched.org. Prophetic Teacher's Dream reveals how the Holy Spirit can supernaturally free you from worry. Okay. You mean John 14, 15, and 16? Which are the verses, it's like a 3-chapter manifesto on how to not worry sinfully. That's not enough. I need this guy's dream. Quote, I had a lovely dream recently. I'd been feeling a little stressed, but the Lord was there in my dream. We were talk with me and he walked with me. And Jesus was right in the midst of a situation I was concerned about. The peace that came with his presence made the situation seem powerless to hurt me. I had nothing to be worried about. I could have read the Bible to you and told you that. Don't know why God would need to repeat something that's clearly in the Word. Another troubling sign of this type of teaching. I hate to tell you this if you have a friend who's a friend forever, because that's what friends are for. I think I just combined two songs right
there. Yeah, that was Dionne Warwick.
You know what, though? I think it would make a great mashup. It might contemporize both of them. Michael W. Smith spearheading a massive concert in Nashville. That's in Tennessee. Which he believes will be the beginning of the next great awakening throughout the U.S. and the world. Partnering with TBN, that's like a Christian network, to present the free worship at the Bridgestone Arena. And this is, looks like this might have happened already. I wonder if the climate in Nashville has changed.
We haven't got the revival going yet.
Well, we're past August 30th, so I didn't. Did you see anything breaking out in Nashville? Anybody feel any difference going on? Is it reverberating throughout the country? Called Surrounded, a night to pray, worship, and be awakened. The concert was inspired by his album Surrounded, which came from a warning he received from God to unite and stand up against the injustices of the world.
Here we go.
All righty. I just felt like it has a lot to do with unity. It has a lot to do with justice. Referencing Amos 5, which has nothing to do with what people are doing with Amos 5. Honestly. God says, this is Michael W. Smith now. Michael W. Smith. Okay, that's the only song I know. And friends of friends forever.
Secret Ambition.
What is it called?
Secret Ambition. Pray for me. And I'll pray for you.
No.
Can he do
like
Breathe?
A rose.
Oh, he recorded that, but he didn't write it. Or he wasn't the original one. Yes.
He, above God, all. Says, I'm tired of your sacrifices and I'm tired of your music. That really got my attention. He said, turn it, please be respectful.
Be
respectful.
I'm just saying, so
far
I'm with him.
Right here.
No, it's Michael W. Smith.
God said, turn it off. I can't stand it. Well,
see?
Maybe I was actually appearing in Michael Smith's dream because I would have told him the same
thing.
Sure,
you can.
He said, this is God, you know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for justice to roll like a waterfall, and it rocked my world.
Why does it sound like you're just taking a lot of old folk songs
Jesus
and using
is
their
the
lyrics?
Rock and he rolled
yeah,
my
justice
blues
is
away.
Supposed to roll like a waterfall. In other words, you're supposed to act like a professing believer. It's not a call for social justice. So he goes on and on to describe that his revelation from God has led him to do this concert in Nashville, which is going to reverberate. And you see, the reason that was the right venue, there's a massive antenna on top of that arena. I've been in arenas all around the world and never seen anything like it. Is that coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not. Oh, because it's going to get all over the world. I'm sorry. Michael W. Smith appears to have drunk the NAR Kool-Aid. And some of us warned about this a number of years ago when he did his Fire, Fire, Fire song. And it had nothing to do with the Ohio Players. Now,
nice.
Why is this a problem? Tim Challies. What does prophecy offer that Scripture does not? This is an outstanding article. When we introduce prophecy, we have to grapple with how to practice it in such a way that it harmonizes with all we believe about the Bible, including sola scriptura. And so if you recall, Matt Chandler said, I had a vision, or I didn't have a vision, but a guy told me I was going to be like Abraham, the father of many sons, but I've got to be circumcised. Quote, I will circumcise you, and through that I will make you the father of many sons. He said, quote, on the bathroom floor that afternoon, the God of creation bent down and kissed my forehead in the darkest night of my life. I knew Bible verses for all of that, but I felt seen and loved that day. Challies, prophecy personalizes Scripture, but it's not clear what Scriptures that prophecy personalized. Second, it's not clear why this prophecy was more encouraging than the Bible verses Chandler already knew. What does I will circumcise you and through it make you the father of many sons offer that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. How is that better? You're going to be circumcised like Abraham was better than that? How and why does a possibly fallible prophecy take on a more important role in that moment than clear divine revelation? Third, what Matt lays out seems to downplay the deeply personal nature of Scripture. Basically, what Matt's trying to teach is, yeah, the word is great, but you just need it personalized sometime. Hebrews 4, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That seems pretty personal. You can toss in Jeremiah 23:29, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, all of Psalm 119, and a ton of passages Scriptures and general communication from God to humanity. It is written to the original audience for our benefit because it's empowered by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What personalizes Scripture? Not a dream, not somebody having a supposed prophecy. It is the internal ministry of the Spirit. That's a great question. What does prophecy offer that Scripture does not? Now that we've got God's complete and total word, what do we need? And the answer to that is we don't. But that kind of teaching, it's spreading here in America like wildfire into good churches. It's spreading overseas. One more encouragement to please support the Master's Academy to stave off that effort, training pastors, indigenous pastors, to preach the word and not prophecies. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. This is Wretched Radio.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How can the church respond to, well, a whole lot of messes? This is Wretched Radio. Another article, another book on the opiate addiction that is raging across America. And I believe that there is a reason for it. This from Dreamland, the true tale of America's opiate epidemic. Journalist, I was surprised by this, Sam Quiñones. He's the fellow who does that What Would You Do TV show. At least that's what I remember him for. He traced the causes of the epidemic and explains the details and why this drug is raging through our communities, and it's raging even through the church. And this is instructive for us because this should tell us something. It tells us the world is hurting. Who has the message of healing and not a drug? The Bible. And no, we do not turn the gospel into you'll feel better if you repent and trust Jesus, but that is an effect. It is a benefit. Why wouldn't we want to preach the good news to folks who are clearly hurting? The human body likes morphine. Receptors in the brain and spine are particularly welcoming to the molecule, which dulls pain and brings on intense pleasure. Second, morphine's power seems to have no limits. While other drugs have levels of maximum effectiveness, the more morphine a person consumes, the more pain it blocks. This is all about pain blocking, and it's not just physical pain. It's psychological. It's emotional pain. What do we take from this? The world is hurting. Once a person falls into its grip, morphine won't let go. I thought this was interesting. The human body converts a lot of drugs to glucose and then gets rid of them. But the only drug, the only substance in nature that we're aware of, the morphine molecule rebelled. It doesn't get turned into glucose. It stays in the body. Now, Quiñones writes about the roots of the opiate epidemic for our learning. A growing desire among post-World War II Americans to feel better quickly and easily, and the germination of the idea of a universal right to be free of pain. We want nothing hard, and we're willing to get addicted to a drug to make everything feel better. Look, nothing wrong with wanting pain at all. We're talking about why this seems to have grown so rapidly in our country. Two, the advent of aggressive marketing of pharmaceuticals. Yep. The development and spectacular success of the opiate-based oral painkiller OxyContin, driven by claims that the drug wasn't addictive. Well, it was, and it is, and a lot of people are hooked on it. A lot of people doing heroin. Do you know where the word heroin comes from? I do, because I'm reading this article. Heroin was developed in 1874 in London. Test subjects in Deutschland said the drug made them feel heroic, or heroisch in German. Hence the name heroin. Did you know that? It makes you feel better than you are. It makes your pain go away. It makes the horrible things that you're living through seem very, very distant. And that's why it's so addictive, not to mention the physical aspects of it. It was simple to make. Heroin, cheaper than morphine, could be diluted to increase illicit profits. Tailor-made for dope traffickers, easier to smuggle, something small. Now, here's a question. How should Christians respond? From the article on the book of Dreamland, as a first step, look for pain. It's surely nearby. Your neighbors, co-workers, family members are hurting. They may have physical pain, but they may also be hurting due to a lost job, long-term unemployment, financial struggles, broken relationships, marital discord, strains with a wayward child, and on the hits go. And people are hurting. Again, we don't turn the gospel into come to Jesus and you won't be hurting. We preach you need to come to Jesus because you're a sinner, deserving of his wrath. You think you got troubles? Wait until the Lamb returns with his mighty angels in flaming fire, pouring out his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent. You think you got trouble now? Your biggest problem is God himself. You're in his scope, and he is not going to lose track of you. God Almighty is going to cut you down. And that is your biggest problem. Oh, good news. Jesus is a cleft in the rock. Jesus is a safe harbor. Jesus is the ark of salvation. Go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and be saved from the wrath that is to come. Here, another benefit, your mess in life, it may or may not disappear, but you're going to know how to deal with it. You'll know how to function through it. You'll know how to endure it, even with joy, as unimaginable as that might seem right now. The effect of the gospel is joy. And so if you'd like to have your sins forgiven, if you'd like joy, repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's our response when you hit the streets or whenever you witness or sending out copies of Don't Stub Your Toe, giving away copies of Don't Stub Your Toe, available at wretched.org. Remember, the world is hurting. Be careful to not cross the line into changing the gospel into some sort of elixir to make people feel better. But just know that they're hurting. Be sympathetic to that. Look around. It's everywhere in America. Everywhere. It's because we're in a post-Christian culture. Go to Eastern Europe. You see the same dead looks on so many people's faces. They are just hurting. They're post-Christian. By the way, speaking of Eastern Europe, I just read somewhere in here, the Ukrainian... Yeah, got it right here. Orthodox Church split fuels Russia-Ukraine tension. Ukraine's president, Petro Poroshenko, says top clerics in the Orthodox Church are ready to grant independence to the Kyiv Church, defying Moscow. This is the religion that dominates Eastern Europe, and people are bleak. People need the gospel. You know, you could support a Tomorrow Club and accomplish that very thing in Eastern Europe. They preach the gospel to poor villages where people don't go. The Eastern Orthodox Church, they might have a small presence, but it's just these little out-of-the-way villages. That's where they go. The Tomorrow Club brings the gospel to people who are, oh, they're drunk. They're just drunk. They just get wasted because of their problems. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. STDs hit all-time highs in U.S. for fourth straight year, CDC reports. What do I take from this? The world's lost. The world's hurting. Make no mistake about it. A lot of it is just flat-out friskiness, but it is also a desire to just feel better temporarily. I want to escape. I want to just feel good. That's why people actually cut themselves, too. Sexually transmitted diseases continue to hit all-time highs in the U.S. Congratulations, secular humanists. This is your statistic. The CDC reporting a 10% spike for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis in 2017. The Federal Health Agency said in a report that the numbers, which include nearly 2.3 million new cases of the aforementioned diseases reflect a, quote, steep sustained increase in STDs since 2003. Why? Well, Jonathan Merman, the director of the CDC's National Center for HIV, AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention, he's got a very big business card, stating, we're sliding backward. It is evident the systems that identify, treat, and ultimately prevent STDs are strained to near breaking point. In other words, the problem is external. In other words, we don't have the right systems, and if we just get everything fixed in culture via the government, there will be no STDs. Furthermore, I would say to this fellow, why are you concerned about people getting STDs at all? They're just choosing how they want to live their lives. They're just choosing how they want to control their own lives and even end their own lives. If they want to get a disease, who are you to judge, sir? Congratulations, liberals. You own this one. The church, however, should be responding to this one. I'm going to be going out to the University of Georgia September 17 and October 15. Looking forward to preaching the gospel, and we will indeed talk about this issue. Because the kids, it's top of mind. And it's the perfect environment to be committing those types of sins and want to bring it up to explain to them not only is it a sin, but there is a better way to deal with the issue of sexuality. There is a better way, the God-ordained way. You can have all the sex you want and you will never be satisfied because you're not doing it according to God's program. You want profound intimacy? Stop catting around. Find yourself a man or woman, whatever your opposite gender is, and commit to a lifelong covenantal relationship, and it'll be more profound and deep than just a one-night stand. Paul, he condemned sexuality in Corinth, but he also offered a greater alternative, and so should the church. Yes, we want people to know those are sins, but we want them to know that the Bible has a better approach to life, including sexuality, than just jumping from one bed to another. This is Wretched Radio. Sadly, it is not only the world that chooses to end the lives of their babies, but it is also young people in the church.
Even in youth group, a friend of mine and I, we made lists of abortion clinics and we would pray for them. And our plan was to go to these clinics and to pray for those people. And then here's just something that it was against my core beliefs. Something that I never wanted to do. And I did it.
So many regrets. Oh, if only there were Christian pro-life centers. Wait a second. There are. All over the country. Preborn.org. Preaching the gospel. Giving free ultrasound. Saving babies. Saving mommies. Would you please consider supporting Preborn? $28 an ultrasound perhaps per month. Preborn.org/wretched.
Let's face it. Most of us are not like Ray Comfort. We don't have New Zealand accents. We don't have a mustache or the bravery to evangelize every single person we ever see. There is good news, though. You don't have to be Ray Comfort. The Don't Stub Your Toe booklet is perfect for those of us terrified to do open-air preaching or share our faith one-on-one. You can order Don't Stub Your Toe individually in 12 packs or in 52 packs. Makes it easy. You can share your faith once a week or once a month. Obeying the Great Commission has never been made easier. It's simple to do. Put copies of Don't Stub Your Toe in your glove box, backpack, or purse. Unless you're a man, then no purses. You can use pockets. And you'll always be ready to give away the gospel. So while you might not have Ray's New Zealand accent or the mustache, you can share our faith just like Ray Comfort. Get your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe in the Wretched store at wretched.org.
Remember this story from Bible League International?
Todd, I was giving out a Bible to a woman, the former village witch doctor. And she took that Bible from me, of course, had the biggest smile on her face. And she held it above her head, and 10 times she said, louder each time. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ.
Doesn't get much better than that. You could write a story, or 5, or 10, or maybe 100, just like that. Bible League International, $5 per Bible, given to new believers. They preach the gospel. They disciple people who make a profession of faith. Then they give them the Word of God so that they can keep their faith walk on track. Would you please consider writing some stories like the Saved Witch Doctor story? By supporting Bible League International, you can do that at wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza.
I'm not loud enough.
Featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching?
Not too loud there.
Do not worry.
You have 1,200 messages.
You're in the hands of professionals.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
This is Wretched Radio. There are two ways you can get a hold of us here. You can send an email to idea@wretched.org. You can beep talk us at 1-877-282-BEEP. Hopefully you've still got letters on your phone and you can do that. 1-877-282-BEEP. idea@wretched.org. And as long as I'm doing a plug for idea@wretched.org, anytime you see anything that you think is, ooh, that's wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org. Now, for instance, I would not know that Thomas the Tank Engine is going to become gender balanced and multicultural if you did not send in this article from the Daily Wire. This is a refreshing of the characters. Apparently, there were too many male trains. Now, I did not know that trains could have genders, but here we are. Thomas the Tank is a boy, and apparently it was a lot of boys. They did a lot of squabbling. This is a refresh designed to quell parents' concerns that the show was racist and sexist. Huh. And that the trains themselves were mean-spirited for constantly arguing with each other. The show also boasts a brand new partner in its progressive efforts. Oh, good, the United Nations, which demanded Thomas embrace gender neutrality last year.
Are they bringing sanctions against the island of Sodor?
You know what? I think they better go to Gullah Gullah. See what's going on that island right there. That's a PBS reference, Joey.
Oh, well, okay. Sodor is a Thomas reference, so I was more specific and on point.
Uh-huh. Apparently, somebody's not watching the PBS
and Thomas
and spending too much time on the demonic Disney Channel.
I've watched them all, but we're talking Thomas, the utilitarian engine, who's only worth anything if he's very useful.
I wonder if I could find that. It was from Vogue magazine. I think I threw it out. Teen Vogue magazine, trying to teach the kids how to speak in gender-neutral ways. And so instead of saying mankind, you're supposed to say humankind. Wait a second, that still has man in it. Silly rabbits, it's not easy being progressive.
Personkind, didn't you listen to Justin Trudeau?
Oh, is that? Yeah. Teen Vogue. I didn't know they were still in business, but apparently the kids are reading it, and they're being trained how to be progressive and 21st century politically correct and so sensitive. At what? Can we even self-deprecate? Can we do that anymore? Can I say anything bad about me? Or have I offended myself, and therefore I've hate-speeched me? It's just getting bonkers out there. You can send stuff to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. For instance, I would not have seen this article from BP News, the gas station news source. Darwinian justification for human speech challenged. Speech, One of the capabilities that defines humans appears to defy evolutionary explanations. So, people have been working for the last 20 years, and science textbooks have been teaching students that two small genetic mutations unique to humans are responsible for human language. Time magazine reported in 2006 these FOXP2 gene mutations may account for the emergence of all aspects of human speech, from a baby's first words to a Robin Williams monologue. That is an odd reference, but I guess it was 2006, so I guess it's okay, otherwise too soon. But new genome research published this month in the journal Cell, C-E-L-L, debunks that idea. Oh, again? Here's how we got here. Here's how we speak. Scratch that. Here's how we got here. Here's how we... let's change that. No, it turns out maybe, possibly, couldn't, we didn't, don't have that, doesn't fit, rewrite the story. And atheists mock us for writing and reading and, or rather, believing Bible stories. We're the fools? I don't think so. From Elizabeth Atkinson, co-author of the paper, the situation is a lot more complicated than the very clean story that has been making it into textbooks all this time. Okay, then let me help you all out. We speak because God speaks. We communicate because God communicates. We talk because God talks. We're made in his image and likeness, and this is the way he made us. I challenge you again to create a unique sense that does not exist. Go. You got smelling, touching, tasting, seeing. I'm missing something. Yeah. What would be the touching, tasting,
hearing?
Smell, hearing. That's the one. Okay, those are senses. Create one. Go. And it can't involve anything else like, oh, you can now smell color because that's still smelling. All you've done is change the object of the odiferous, what is the name? Odiferous.
I'd say olfaction, but yeah.
That's the one I'm looking for right there, the olfaction thing. I don't want to get all medical and highfalutin on you. But try to create something that doesn't involve one of your current senses that God has designed and thought of. You can't do it. Furthermore, let's just say that you could. Let's just say we used to be unable to communicate. Who came up with the idea? How did it get started? And then how did that person keep evolving to develop that when nobody could actually hear it or understand it because they don't speak too. Who defined and decided what all of the symbols are? Isn't it funny? You can look high and low and you will not find any sort of communication in written form prior to give or take 5,000 years ago. I wonder why that is. Sexual revolution hits another speed bump. I would not have seen this article if you had not sent it to idea@wretched.org. Tim Challies, I thought this was really interesting. A recent study by two Canadian researchers attempts to describe the demographic characteristics of individuals who are willing to consider a transgender individual as a potential dating partner. All right, we've seen lots of polls, lots of research. Hey, how do you feel about transgenders? Great. Is anybody recording this? People say it, but when it comes to dating them, the researchers wanted to know whether people discriminate against transgendered people when it comes to romantic or sexual interest. How would they know whether such a discrimination exists? According to the terms of the sexual revolution, if transgendered people are truly the gender they identify with, they should be romantically and sexually desirable to those who are attracted to that gender. Uh-oh. Here comes the speed bump. So here's the deal. People who were born male but now identify as women should be sexually appealing to heterosexual men. Survey of one? No. But it's more than a survey of one. They took a full-blown survey. Because if Bruce Jenner's really a Goyle, and you're a heterosexual man who thinks there ain't nothing wrong with being a transsexual, then Bruce just might be your cup of tea. But He's not. You know it. Because we innately know something is wrong. People who were born female but now identify as men should be considered romantically appealing to heterosexual women, since they are indeed truly men now. Similarly, people who were born female but now identify as men should be appealing to homosexual men. Anything less than this is evidence of a kind of inconsistency between what people say they believe and what they are actually willing to practice. So what did the study find? Nearly 1,000 people were asked about the genders of people they'd be willing to date and were able to choose as many of the following as they wished. Try to keep up as best you can, but don't worry about it if you don't. Cisgender man, cisgender woman, trans man, trans woman, gender queer. There's your choices. Virtually none of the heterosexuals surveyed indicated a willingness to date a transgendered person. 1.8% of straight women and 3.3% of straight men. Homosexuals were only slightly more willing. Why? Because this is the second most obvious thing on the planet. The first most obvious thing is God exists. That's why we have communication. That's what that points us toward. And it's so obvious, only a fool suppresses that truth in unrighteousness. Second most obvious thing, there's boys, there's girls, that's it. And you can't just change your mind and become a different gender. The study showing people are paying lip service to a revolution. It's a little easier to get people to say that than to actually embrace it in their hearts, their lives, and their bedrooms. This current celebration and acceptance of transsexuality, don't be deceived. Sort of like the last election. What people say to the pollsters and how they really act and think and talk behind closed doors are often radically different. And methinks this is one of those times I would not have been able to see that story if you hadn't set stuff to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Until next time, go serve your king.